All righty. I praise the Lord for the opportunity to be behind this pulpit. And Pastor Russell, thank you for allowing me to be behind this pulpit as well. Today we're going to be in Mark chapter 8, verse 15. I'll read the verse, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get into what the Lord has put on my heart today. Mark chapter 8, verse 15. And he charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this local assembly, Lord, that preserves your word, your perfect word, Lord. We pray that every word spoken behind this pulpit today is in your glory, Lord. We prioritize you over all, and we just are so thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he has done on that cross to forgive us of all of our sins, which we do not deserve, Lord. We do not deserve that love. And we pray this in the name of your glorious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, this past week, I had to ask myself a very important question, which is, Nathaniel, are you spirit-driven or self-driven? In other words, am I being led by the Spirit, or am I prioritizing my own luck, like my own flesh? And I had to answer that, and the answer to that was, I was very self-driven this past week. I'd prioritize shaping my outward appearance, whether that was making time for the gym or making sure the people around me perceived me in a way that, yeah, Nathaniel Fitz is strong. He isn't that weak sinner that I actually really am. So this led me to that acknowledgement of I am self-righteous, and that ultimately led me astray from the Lord. That kept me away from indulging in the truth of the word. So today we'll be in Mark chapter 8, verse 15, which shows us biblical truth on the Pharisees' pride and self-righteousness, and I'll show you also, through the truth, how to biblically combat it. So contextually, we're in Mark chapter 8, where Jesus had broke the 7 loaves to feed the multitude of about 4,000. In verse 11, we could read, "And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of a sign from heaven, tempting him. Jesus then responds to them, and he sighed deeply in his spirit, and saith, Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation." So the Jews, they constantly sought after a sign. They lacked faith in their hearts that Jesus was the Messiah, or the Anointed One. So this is why Jesus takes his disciples and tells them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. But if we turn over to Exodus chapter 12, verse 15, we can see what leaven is, because in the physical realm of it, it's what puffs the dough up. But we could see what it means spiritually in Exodus. Exodus 12:15. So contextually, Exodus 12 is when the Lord had delivered the Israelites out of captivity in Egypt, which is Passover. And in 12:15 it reads, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. So they were to put the leaven outside of their homes because that was a representation of sin. For the Lord was delivering them out from that sin. So that prompted the question to me of, well, the leaven of the doctrine, which is in Matthew chapter 12 Matthew 16 verse 11 through 12. Sorry. Yes, 16 verse 11 through 12. Which reads, "How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And as I studied the Pharisees, a good piece of scripture in Matthew chapter 23, verse 25 through 28, had convicted my heart, because they had this self-righteousness on their outward appearance, but within they were filled with dead bones. So if you turn over to Matthew chapter 23, verse 25 through 28, we could read this biblical truth. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Though, blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And a good example of this would be how King Saul, he looked the part, right? He looked like that grand king, but he disobeyed the Lord's commandment. So we could turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 6, and we could see why the Lord had anointed David instead of, you know, King Saul, who had disobeyed the Lord's commandment. Alright, 16 verse 6, 1 Samuel 16, 6. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So that deeply convicted me, because I've lived majority of my life trying to shape my outward appearance to look like I was some strong person, because inside I felt so weak. And that really comes down to a lack of love, and love for the Lord. But the world teaches the wrong type of love. That type of love conveniences you momentarily, but the moment that thing inconveniences you, you turn to the next thing. It's a constant cycle of trying to find the next thing that brings that short-term pleasure. So if we turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we have biblical truth on what love really is. First Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. And Scripture says, Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. So in the King James Version, that's the word charity, but in the Greek it's the noun agape, which means love. So we could read it as, Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. And there's two things that work together, and that's this love, and that comes along with humility. So if we turn over to James chapter 4, verse 6, we could see why humility is such an important role as us Christians. We need to have that humility in our walk with Christ. Alrighty. James chapter 4, verse 6 reads, But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And it's a constant submission to the Lord. And the problem that I dealt with last week was prioritizing myself and my own wants and desires and what my flesh wanted. And that led me away from Christ. And that brought great sorrow and great conviction. And that moment brought me back to the place back in November when I first got saved, back to that spot where I was so low. And I needed the Lord, and I made that realization that I can't do it on my own. I need the Lord, and I need his grace and mercy. And Jesus is the ultimate example for that humility and love, you know, his self-sacrificial, when he died on the cross for our sins. And we don't deserve that. We don't deserve that love, but yet he still gives it to us. So it's a constant renewal of the heart and mind, and placing it below at the foot of the cross, and serving the Lord. That pretty much concludes my sermon today. I'll exit in prayer, and thank you for the opportunity. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you. We are so joyful to be in your word today, Lord, and to speak and listen to truth. Lord, I pray that the message that you put in my heart convicts those that are listening. For it had convicted my heart sharply, Lord, and it had poked in my heart. Father, I pray that we move on to the next sermon with our hearts open and ready to hear Pastor Strauss's truth through your truth, Lord, and your perfect word. I pray this in the name of your glorious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.